Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Killer Bees with Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
We head out to the HRP guest line. We're being joined by Kevin Bowen, host of Wake Up Call on 107.5 The Fan in Indy. Kevin, thank you for taking a few minutes hanging out with the Killer Bees this afternoon. What is different about the Colts now versus week one?
Well, Josh Downs will play. I think he's arguably this team's most consistent player, really solid out of the slot, and just a guy that in several of their wins has been very important. So, personnel-wise, that is certainly different from week one. Tackling was such an issue in that game. I don't know if it's gotten immensely better, but, that would be something certainly keep an eye on. Personnel-wise, though, I mean, they've gone through a lot of kind of ups and downs. Since then, they look to be much healthier than they have been in the span. I thought week one, Jonathan Taylor, DeForest Buckner played in that game. Both of them got hurt in the weeks after that. They look to be getting back into the lineup. But, yeah, Josh Downs personnel-wise would probably be the first thing that I'd point to there. But to be honest with you, it's been the team that's kind of played to the competition week in and week out. They've had all one-possession games this season, and they are the least penalized team in the NFL, so that's probably why they've been able to come out on top and, more than half of them.
Kevin, you look at what's happened to the Houston Texans lately and what happened in week one, and I wonder how much that the Colts focus on that from a defensive perspective. One, we know that Joe Mixon ran wild, and he's since he's been healthy, he looks really good, and that was a big key for the Texans in week one. And then from a defensive perspective, aside from that, Green Bay had their way with stunts and a pass rush to go a certain way against the Texans' offense, and maybe that's a cheat code that's out there. Can the Colts take advantage of that, and how do they stop Joe Mixon differently than they did in week one?
Yeah, that was probably the most stunning aspect of week one, was Jonathan Taylor had 3 yards per carry and Joe Mixon looked like he should be a first ballot Canton Hall of Famer. I mean, it was just kind of shocking to see that discrepancy in those two players. The Colts have struggled stopping the run. It's not just the Mixon this season, so that is certainly going to be a focus. I would think without Nico Collins, you could maybe commit a few more resources to the run game, whereas week one, you probably thought, wait a minute, let's commit more to the back end here. And then, hopefully your front can kind of corral Mixon. So I think that is going to be something that I'm certainly going to be watching for. The Colts actually got after Stroud, I thought, pretty decently week one. Now you look at Stroud's passer rating and completion percentage from that first game, and he certainly was highly efficient, but they sacked him 4 times and I think hit him 10, which for the Colts, that's a big number. They've had 3 games this season where they have not sacked the opposing quarterback. So this has kind of always been, I feel like, a storyline when the Colts have played the Texans in the last couple of years. How is Houston's offensive line? Can they hold up? And then for the Colts, it's how much can they get after Stroud? Again, they got after him in some areas you could say week one, but then at the end of the day, he still made every key throw seemingly that was necessary. And, a big play to Collins deep, and certainly the big play to ice the game near the sidelines there. So that will certainly be a factor in this one.
It's the voice of Kevin Bowen, host of Wake Up Call on 107.5 The Fan in Indy. What is the approval rating on Anthony Richardson in the city?
Oh, very blah. Yeah, I mean, very. But to some, they would say, N.A. You still got to wait a little bit longer on it. But, if you're asking people to grade him here through the 8 or 9 games and through the midway point of year two, it would certainly not be a passing grade, or I don't think it'd be anything that you'd maybe want to show mom or dad when you take it home. So, yeah, I think people are starting to sour, and people are starting to question not only the availability of him health-wise, but the ability of him on the field, and it's certainly, seen here. And you guys saw it a little bit week one, more so with the completion percentage number. But then weeks two and three when he played, the turnovers really rose. And then last week when he got back in the lineup, you had, again, just passing offense that was under 50%, which is, hard to sustain anything off of that. So that's the question now of can he improve as a passer? Last year he actually was a better passer than he's been this year. He was more accurate, and he stayed away from those turnovers. So they ran him a whole lot last week. I know the Texans have seen that. They saw it at the end of week one. They saw it last year down there in NRG in that week 2 matchup as well. So certainly Richardson's legs pose a threat. But entering the NFL, the big question was, how much can you improve his accuracy? And here on October 24th, midway through year 2, that question, I would argue, has only risen.
how fluid of a situation is it then in that Flacco has had moments of and glimpses of old Joe Flacco where he's been able to do some things for the Colts? We know how high of a pick Richardson was. We know what he can do with his legs. But to your point about the passing, Flacco really has had some good moments passing the football. Is it fluid enough to that, or is it an organizational belief that, hey, this was our guy, he's going to be our guy, and we're not going to sit there and go back and forth or consider changes week to week?
Yeah, I'd be stunned if they went back to Flacco, you know, if both guys are healthy. I'd be stunned at any point this season, certainly in the immediate, you know, future here of, you know, whatever, Richardson struggles in the first half on Sunday or even in the coming weeks. You know, we have done the Band-Aid quarterback song and dance in this market, and it's had varying degrees of middling success is probably how I would describe it, whether it's Jacoby Brissett, whether it's Phillip Rivers, whether it's Gardner Minshew, whether it's Carson Wentz. Matt Ryan had no success, but those other guys had, you know, again, varying degrees of very mediocre football, some better than others, some a little bit worse. But at the end of the day, the seasons were 7 wins and 9 wins, and, you know, Rivers did get into the playoffs. But, you know, basically, when they drafted Richardson 4th overall, they sent a message indirectly to the fan base of, hop on the patient train, and if you're not ready for it, you're probably not going to like what you're seeing here the next couple of seasons. And the Colts optimistically would say, hey, look at Josh Allen's early, you know, years. Look at Jalen Hurts' early years, you know, kind of things like that. Whereas, you know, some can obviously counter with other quarterbacks that did not pan out after early struggles. So they will, I'd be stunned if they went to Flacco at any point.
So break it down for us. If the Colts win, why, and then how do you see it playing out?
Well, if the Colts win, they will have disrupted the passing game, especially the back end of their defense. The Colts have not beaten a quality quarterback in their last 10 wins. If you rattle off those quarterbacks, they'd make your ears bleed. So that's the question. You know, really got to probably go back to Stroud last year, week 2, and of course he's far different quarterback than Lamar Jackson they did beat last September. So that's the question for me is, you know, again, can you disrupt up front, which seemingly is a question for Houston. But then on the back end, again, you didn't get your hands on enough ball. So I would start there. And then for Richardson and the offense, you have to stay away from the negatives. And then can you hit enough singles? He just, if you can use the baseball analogy, he just doesn't hit enough singles. Sure, there's a home run or two. You guys saw it week 1. He certainly has that rare ability, but you just have got to be a little bit more methodical with that passing game. So if they can do that, then I do think they could steal one. And I know Houston's a little banged up defensively and then without Nico. So I do think that is certainly a big personnel advantage to the Colts here, injury report-wise.
Kevin, I see Taylor Swift bringing her Eras Tour to Indy. I trust you're going?
Boy, I don't think I would need, I mean, not to speak to the Houston market, but I think I would need my salary, probably your salary, probably both of your salaries, honestly. Maybe just to afford a parking pass there. So, yes, next Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, you'll be inside of Lucas Oil Stadium, the final stop on the American portion of the tour here. So, cue my daughter begging me and me failing as a dad.
Yeah, you just put it on the playlist. That'll be just enough. Kevin, we appreciate the time.
You bet. Thanks for having me, guys.
Kevin Bowen, host of Wake Up Call on 107.5, The Fan in Indy. We had our intern went to Taylor Swift. She said she used her tax refund to go to Taylor Swift when she was in town. Probably the best usage of 100% of your what she.
That was the last time she's in town, not this tour?
No, I think it was, I don't know, the most recent time she was here.
I think that's before she went.
She brought the Eras Tour here, didn't she?
I don't know. Maybe she started early on, then she went overseas, and now she's back in the States to finish it.
Yeah, probably
she's
asking
probably
the wrong
not
guys.
Coming here again. My daughter's, of course, keeping an eye on it.
Oh, is she?
Taylor's a Taylor Swift fan.
Oh, yeah. Oh, very good. That's a problem I'm happy that I do not have.